From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
There we are, the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Big Blue Roundtable Scenarios, episode part deuce. We're going to have the stakeholders sound off. What's going on in the offseason, guys they like, and the prospects. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes could be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. I know there's been a lot of news. Of course, with one wide receiver, and I'm pretty sure we have to discuss that. But you guys heard all the stakeholders over the last month and a half. We've kind of been ahead of the curve in the sense of, especially myself and some of the other players, as far as considerations of trades. I kind of don't want to get down that road, but if the stakeholders have something to say, because it's been such a hot topic overall around the NFL, we can have that dialogue. So let's discuss that, man. Other episodes, quick plugs, the Bleed Blue Show, shout-outs to the other platforms. We talk with the hockey team, the NHL, the Ranger Proud. Also talk with Knickerbocker Avenue. Actually, Chris did the episode with the Knicks with Knickerbocker Avenue. Our ALE's preview episode, our stakeholder spotlight with Dominic. It was all good episodes, man. Definitely check that out, those who are listening to the Giants podcast. And, you know, happy MLB season. Yankees win over the Blue Jays this afternoon. Very good game. And also, shout out to the Mets. They won their game. So, shout out to the Mets fans who are also stakeholders. So, good wins for both the Yankees and the Mets. So, let's get the dialogue rolling, man. I don't even want to delay this any further than we have to. So let's quick roll call, and we'll bring on the stakeholders in order that they call. Just get on the line, just say hello, how you doing, just real quick, and then we're coming right back to you, and you could go anywhere you want with this episode, because I kind of want to, me personally, when it gets to my turn, I'm probably going to look at more so prospects. But everybody, the stakeholders who have an equal say on this platform, want to bring something to the table. They want to have say their say on what they want on this football team with the Giants in this draft. So quick roll call time at Everything NYG on Twitter. He's back on the platform. Robbie, it's good to have you. And happy belated birthday to you, by the way. Quick roll call. Say hello to the people, Robbie.
Yo, hey, good to be back, man. Happy birthday to you as well. Late, but happy birthday to you as well, man. I'm happy to be back on here, man. It's been too long.
Yeah, man, great to have you at Everything NYG on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the Big Blue crew of Atlanta. Let's bring back the Sarge, man. Sarge, say hello to the people. How you doing?
What up? Back on.
Yeah,
2 weeks in a row.
What up? Yes, sir. All right, that is Sarge, Big Blue crew of Atlanta. Let's go to the Tiger Hunter himself, fan extraordinaire, KGYR. The legendary Spartacus. Spartacus, hello to the people, man.
What's good? What's good, family? How y'all doing today? How about them Yankees?
Good,
that's all I got to
How
say.
How about them? Did you see the last home run Giancarlo Stanton hit? The second one in the ninth.
I didn't see the game, so because I was still at work. But I'm gonna check out them highlights later. So if Stanton hit a home run, I know they were rolling.
The second one, what a shot. He hit it so hard that the center fielder didn't even move. Wow. It was right center upper deck. But good win.
I can't wait to see this later.
Yeah, you'll see it. Shout out to Spartacus. We'll get back to him. Let's go to Los Angeles, GiantsFansInLA.com. Go to the website, GiantsFansInLA.com, for the Big Blue Giants out there in Los Angeles, California. Steve in L.A., what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's always a good day when Harry Rose says put it in the books. So
yeah,
I'm happy for one day. Yeah, we had our Mets fans in L.A. We had our opening thing, and it was great. We had a lot of people playing hooky today. We had like over 30 people.
Oh,
so.
Oh yeah, tell us about
it. It went really well. I got a Mets fan group, and most of the time we gather and watch the games on Sundays, but we had a group today for opening day, and it was, I only stayed for the first couple of innings. I actually had to work today, but I was amazed how many people played hooky and came out. And I'm hoping to have an outing at Dodger Stadium today. I haven't done that for a few years, but I'm hoping to have it this year. We've had like over 100 people at Dodger Stadium together. I'm hoping to do that. So, yeah, great day so far.
All right, Steve in L.A. All right, I got to have to check that out. I'm not a Mets fan, but I definitely like good fan events. I'll definitely check that out if you guys got something going on this summer. Let's have that discussion later on. Let's bring on Rayson. Knicks, Giants, Yankee, Rangers, just the way we like them. Let's go to Ray. Rayson, what's up? How you doing? Quick roll call time.
What's good, everybody? What's good, y'all? Hey, Steve, that Stanton home run was ridiculous. That's all I got to say.
Which one? The first one or the second one? I'm talking about
the second one. The second one. The second one was ridiculous.
Banana.
Oh, man. Yankee looking good. Yeah. That's all I got right now.
You know, I have a beef with Aaron Boone. I don't want to nitpick. I'll wait till Monday on that. You know, kind of pulled Luis Severino a little bit early for my take. But you know what? Chad Green came in on and in middle relief and did what he do. So I'm all cool with that. So. All right. Yes, Rayson. Hold on, Rayson. We're going to come back to you. Let's get to other stakeholders, get them on the line. Let's see. Who is this? This is Justin, right? Justin, right?
Yeah. It's me, Steve.
What's up, man? Bro? Good, man. How's everything with yourself?
I'm all right, bro. Can't complain. Just got done punching the clock, man. About to enjoy this 3-day weekend, man. It's ready to get into some good dialogue with y'all.
We got to, man. It's all about good dialogue, man. Justin, welcome back to the Big Blue Roundtable. Talk with fellow stakeholders. Stay right there. We're going to get right back to you. Let's bring I'm in Giants. I think this is Isaac. Isaac, what's up, man? How you doing? Quick roll call.
What's going on? Life is good. Football all over the news. I mean, it's not all positive for the Giants, but you know what? We're talking Giant football. Life is good.
Yes, it is. How's everything with yourself, man?
Things are wonderful. You know, I'm just amped up, got the season ticket invoice, about to pay that and get ready for a big season.
Oh, man, you're a veteran Giants fan right here. Home games, away games, Super Bowls, you name it, he's there. Isaac, man, is on the Big Blue Roundtable, topping it up with the stakeholders, man. Thank you very much. Isaac, go on, stay right there. We're going to get to you when we get to getting some more stakeholders on. And then Chantel Rebel, Giant fans, Capo, KGYR, Lieutenant. Rebel, what up? How you doing?
Good evening. I'm glad to be on the show. Steve, not yet, but very soon we're going to have to christen me a Yankees fan watching part of my first game alone today. So I'm learning Yankees football, baseball. So, you know, give me a chance when I'm ready. Christen me, and we'll go from there. Yes. But looking forward to the show tonight.
Yeah, because I know you have a lot to say on cornerback depth and as well as linebackers. I know you've been doing a lot of research, and which we all about research on this platform. And I want to do things a little bit different than what we normally do, because I direct and I kind of show the traffic as far as who's going to say what. I'm going to try to see if we're going to try something a little bit different. I'm trying to get stakeholders on this line to talk to other stakeholders so they can save their points. We'll give everybody 4 minutes. But even when we go back around, I want to try to get everybody to have a dialogue. So if Steve in L.A. wants to ask, I don't know, Sarge from Big Blue Crew of Atlanta a question, or Spartacus wants to ask Isaac a question or a comment or racing and so on and so forth, I'm going to try to do that. I'm trying to really make it more interactive than we normally do. So we're going to start with Robbie at Everything NYG. And Robbie, there's really no concrete topic on the table. If there's anything you would like to say on the draft, you know, Beckham Jr. has been heavy with the rumors on the propaganda, but that's been a lot of speculation since the Big Blue Roundtable, you know, so on and so forth. But Robbie, anywhere you would like to go with your 4 minutes, you are on the clock, and then we'll go right down the line to Sarge and then Spartacus and Steve out there in Los Angeles, Rayson and Justin and Isaac and Chantel. So, Robbie, fire away, my man, anywhere you want to go, and then we'll go to the next stakeholder.
Yeah, man. You know, obviously the Odell Beckham thing is a big deal right now. You know, everyone that, you know, follows me on Twitter, everyone knows it drives me absolutely insane. Odell Beckham is not getting traded, bro. It's not going to happen. The main reason why this even came around is because that dumbass Pat Leonard had to start up something once again. And, you know, and I don't even know where he got that from. And then everyone wanted to catch on to it. And, of course, I'm sure the Rams heard about that and were like, shoot, is he available? You know, why not? If you have the 23rd pick, you're like, hey, do you want it? You know what I mean? You're going to inquire about it. And that's what I keep telling people all the time that come at me about it. I'm like, every big player is going to have some type of interest somewhere. Just because it's not all over the news, because it's not Odell Beckham, doesn't mean it's not there. Every big team, every big player, they're going to have their interest around the league. But that's just my take on that. So I think he'll get his contract and we'll go from there. But, I mean, as far as the draft goes, my opinions have still pretty much stayed the same throughout the whole year. I mean, you got it, you know, in my opinion, once again, same thing the whole year. Baker Mayfield, he's the best in the class. I think it goes without saying, and I think the combine did exactly that. I know the last time I talked was, I think, way before the, you know, right around the Senior Bowl. So he did what I thought he would at the combine, and he boosted himself up, and I think he's going to be the top quarterback out of this class. I think, you know, I know there's a lot of new guys on here, so you don't know my opinions like that. I think Sam Darnold, if the Giants do that, I think that'll be the biggest mistake they've made in the draft, and that's even before Jay Reese in the last, like, 6 or 7 years, man, even before Eric Flowers. So Sam Darnold, he's a USC quarterback. He's going to come in there. He's not going to be special. He's not going to be anything worse. He didn't even want to throw at the combine because of familiarity with his wide receivers. What does that say about him? You don't pick him. You don't take Lamar Jackson because he's a wide receiver, glorified wide receiver that just scored a 13 on his test. So he doesn't know the mechanics of football. You give me Mason Rudolph and Baker Mayfield 10 out of 10 times before I even touch anyone else, and then I'll look at Josh Allen. Because it's just the top three quarterbacks, in my opinion. We can talk about it all day long, but, there's not much else to talk about. It's hard to when you don't have a topic, you know what I mean? But I think Dave Gettleman, I think that's been the best decision we've made in a long time. I think he's been nothing but great for us so far. I have no complaints with Dave Gettleman. The fact that he was able to unload Jason Pierre-Paul in that dumb contract and get a third-round pick and move up in the fourth round is absolutely unbelievable. That was one of the best trades I've ever seen. Like, that was unbelievable. I mean, wow. You unloaded $19.5 million in cap next year and over $20 the next one after that. That's Odell Beckham money. That's Landon Collins money, just like that, with one trade. That's pretty damn incredible, and especially to get a pick out of it, a high-round pick. I love Dave Gettleman. I love the way he responds to the media. I love everything he says. I think he's hysterical, and I love whenever he answers a comment that he doesn't want to talk about, which he has the right to do. He just says something stupid and funny, and they don't ask it again. And that's – I love it, man. I love it. I think he's great. I think everything screams New York Giants about him. But, yeah, man, overall, you know, I tried to cover the bases. Odell's going nowhere. You know, Barkley and all those guys are, you know, Mayfield, I like Rosen, obviously. I like Allen. Where you move back and you take Nelson. And Chubb's the dark horse. He's been the dark horse. But completely forgot to mention Rosen earlier. My fault. I love Rosen. I completely forgot to mention Rosen. But that's about it, and I'll give it to someone else. Take it away.
Well, you have a little bit more time. Why do you like Rosen? Just asking for the people.
Yeah, he's the best pure passer in the draft. He's one of the best he's come out in a long time. He can make every throw, and he has the balance of a tennis player because that's what he was. So he can throw off any foot. He can throw off the run. He has a lot of medical history, and that's what everyone's going to say, but they all have medical history. Allen tore his ACL or something, or something with his knee or something, I don't know, like twice. Mayfield's had like three concussions. You know, they all have injury history in football. So I completely disregard that, and, you know, as far as Mayfield's height and stuff like that, that gets disregarded because you can just ask Drew Brees and Russell Wilson how they're doing. So, yeah, Rose, that's your pass. There you go.
Right, that is Robbie. A little slow on the clock, my bad on that. That is Robbie at Everything NYG. That's Robbie. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're on social media, if you're on Twitter, follow these great stakeholders, man. Giants fans in LA, that would be Steve, and also Big Blue Arizona on Instagram, but also Robbie at Everything NYG on Twitter. Talk Giants dialogue on social media with Robbie. Robbie, there was no topic on the table because we want the stakeholders to say whatever they feel, and we'll get into all the particulars as we go back around. So thank you very much, sir. You already know. Let's go to Sarge, Big Blue Crew of Atlanta. There's really no clear topic, anything that's on your mind as far as what we discussed in the draft or you want to discuss with the draft. So Sarge, man, fire away. We'll put you on the clock for the 4 minutes, and we go right down the line to Spartacus after that.
Yes, sir. Hey, so good evening, everybody. Yeah, when there's no topic, it's kind of hard to hit, but we've been harping on Beckham for a minute, and I'm not directing this to Spartacus, but Lord knows, if it was up to Spartacus, we would have got rid of freaking Beckham like 3 months ago if it was up to him. But with that being said, my point is this. For everybody that discusses the fact that Beckham gets traded, I'm just saying this is a hypothetical that people talk about. We trade Beckham for more picks. In that trade, the folks that say we get Saquon Barkley at the second spot. My point is simple. What do we do as a team now that Shepard is going into, what, his third year? Ingram is going into his second. Brandon Marshall is a bust. I believe we either got rid of King and we still have King and or Lewis. So now with Saquon Barkley, the savior, if I'm a coach, I'm putting 8 in a box and say, beat me, Eli. Beat me with Shepard. Beat me with Ingram, if that's possible. Because now, percentage, what is Beckham, about 40, 50% of the offense? That's gone. You put 8 in a box, Saquon Barkley being the new Barry Sanders, turns into nothing. So I'm not directing this as Spartacus, but he was one that made a point to say we should trade him. Somebody posted a couple of days ago about all the good things Beckham does in the community. And I think that gets overshadowed a lot of times because we miss the point that this kid, and I say this kid because I have children older than Odell Beckham, is 23, 24 years old. When I was 23, 24 years old, I was making $35,000 driving a brand new Ultima. You couldn't tell me jack. I was a baller. But at 23, 24, as a millionaire, everybody expects this young man to be very intelligent and make good decisions. Just because you are an outstanding athlete does not mean that you are going to make outstanding decisions as a young man. Not, I'm not condoning some of the stuff that goes on, but again, there's no rest. So for all of those that say we trade them more picks, what do we not prove yet? This rookie can do at Ohio State, Big Ten. Again, I'm not a fan of the Big Ten. And somebody tried to clown me last week when I said college running. I can't remember who said it, but and they did not last. As someone said it before, time for a running back. Out of that, you ain't found AP since. You ain't found the Dane since. These guys like DeMarco Murray, they hit one big one. He looked fun. So, the last time we drafted this guy was 2004. We got Eli Manning. Go figure. 2 Super Bowls later. I'm out. On to the next, Spartacus.
Hello, are we there? It's Joe, are we there? Spartacus, what's up? I can't hear anyone. I'm going to try to dial back in.
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry about that, Spartacus. I was on mute. I had a big old moment. No one in the stars couldn't hear me. Because I had my own self on mute. My bad. Technical difficulties. I'm going to wait till Spartacus comes back on. I had a bad mute button moment. We'll bring on Spartacus when he gets back on. But you heard from Robbie. He had made some points on the upper management, how Gettleman carried himself in the media, and I thought he did a good job as far as kind of shrugging off the questions in the media. Sarge brought up the points with Beckham Jr. as far as his maturity. Bring it back on Spartacus. Spartacus, that was not on you. That was actually on me. I was on you. Y'all couldn't hear me, but Spartacus, go ahead. We can hear you loud and clear.
Hey, what's good? What's good, everybody? Hey, Sarge, what's up, man? Hadn't seen you in a minute, man, but we definitely have to pull up, man, and get a cold one. Well, I was actually talking to Steve today. We were actually texting a little bit while I was at work. And I said, man, I didn't want to start like a prophet as of last week. And then, of course, this week, all this stuff comes out. Trust me, y'all, I don't know anything that you guys don't know, but I know it seemed really weird that this came out the way it did, and we literally talked about this last week, you know. But it will give me an opportunity to kind of clarify some things. You know, one of the things that bothers me is I look at the shelf life of a wide receiver, and I know that, you know, we consider Beckham a generational talent. I hate when they use that word. He's an elite receiver. Let's just say he's an elite receiver. I consider Antonio Brown an elite receiver. You know, there's two or three other guys in the league. I consider Julio Jones an elite receiver. You know, generational, I think that you're, you know, if you're going to say generational, you're going to say Jerry Rice because he actually played 13, 14, 15 years. That's a generational wide receiver because he actually played a longevity that kind of encompassed or kind of just crossed generations, so to speak, you know. So when I say that, you may have watched him as a teen in your late teens. Now you got kids. That's the next generation of people that's going to be watching football. And so that longevity, I think, is to me, that's just how we define a generational player. You know, you got to have some longevity behind it as well. Contrary to popular belief, I really feel like, and this is what's making me feel the way that I feel, and hopefully you guys will understand after I say this. You know, if he doesn't have a season-ending injury, I probably would be saying the same thing, don't trade him. You know, but I'm just looking at the history of receivers after season-ending injuries. This is why I really wanted Beckham to get that contract done last year. I wanted him to get that contract done. I didn't want him not to get paid, but I really just can't see paying $20 million to a receiver. Granted, he's an elite receiver, top talent, coming off of an injury like that. Because I'm going to tell you, and Sarge, you know about these leg injuries from being in the Army, just like me. You just don't come back the same, and that's what worries me. And this is really, that's a lot of money to kind of get into a contract in and get kind of burnt by. Because you're going to get burnt. Because in two ways. Number one, he can re-break that ankle. Number two, he can come back and not be the same receiver. If someone was going to guarantee me that this is going to be the same player that he was before this injury, I'd be all for it, man. But I think we all know history shows us that you're just not going to come back the same and be able to perform as the same, you know, as you were before the injury. It's just not going to happen. You know, I may mention to Antonio Brown, I want you all you guys to go on your computers. I want you to look at Antonio Brown's stats because to me that's the measurement right now. You talk about the next generational receiver in the NFL. Look at the consistency after his first and second year. He's going into his ninth year. Year one, year two, getting into the league, getting his feet wet. But look at year three through seven, and look at those stats. You're going to be like, wow. And that's without all the antics. That's what, you know, if you want somebody to be the face of your franchise, You can't, you wasn't snorting coke and you weren't smoking weed, but you can't be in a video with some chick doing three lines of coke. We all know it was coke. Let's just not even play around with that. And here's the thing, and risk yourself to being suspended like Ezekiel Elliott for bad conduct, you know? So it's just too much, and that's why I say trade them. I think two number ones would definitely get us what we need. I saw something today with the Patriots, you know. Hey, let's take two number ones from the Patriots plus Brandon Cooks. I'd be down for that. I think that'd be good for both sides. So that's all I really got to say about that. You know, I still hope that we get Barkley, and that'll give us basically we just need balance right now. I want wins. I don't want another 3-13 or 4-12 season, and Beckham catching, you know, 99 balls for 1,500 yards. I don't need that, man. I need wins. I need playoffs, man. I need rings. You know, if y'all want to go watch him perform, hey, he could do that shit in Cleveland. I'm done.
Spartacus has spoken to Tiger Hunter, man. Spartacus, thank you very much. Again, his thoughts in. Let's go to Steve in L.A. Anywhere he would like to go. I'm not sure if Steve looked into what his draft prospects is for the later rounds. He was quite evident last week on what he thought on the first round. But I got to remind you guys, in 2 Thursdays from now, we're going to have our mock draft, a stakeholder mock draft in 2 weeks, and then a part two the week after that, and then, of course, the draft in Dallas. So keep in tabs. 2 weeks from now, mock draft, stakeholder mock draft. Steve in L.A., GiantsFansInLA.com. Anywhere you would like to go with it, I wonder if any guys you've been looking at as far as draft prospects in the later rounds, if you have any, and then we'll go to racing. Steve, what's going on?
Oh, not much. And once again in the news, we have a temperamental New York star who's coming off an injury that people wonder about their work ethic. But I got to say, I was really impressed with Yoenis Cespedes going 2-for-5 with 3 RBI. So good for him. That was my bad joke. anyway, first of all, I'm going to be honest with you about the draft. I don't follow college football well enough to know the guys in the later rounds, and I've been wrong enough about guys that I just know that I don't know. I mean, I thought the guy from UCLA, Adigazua, I thought he was going to be a good player, and well, that didn't turn out too well. I thought Kobe Fleener was the next Jason Witten. Didn't turn out so well. Any guys that I look at and like, you got to take with a grain of salt. I will say about about Beckham quickly. You know, if they trade him, and it's hard to know with all these rumors, and I mean, it's hard to say that there's nothing there with so many rumors. But at the same time, it does seem to be like just one bad rumor that's just kind of fed on itself. But having said that, if they do that, then essentially what they're saying is we are not going to they're going to try, but they're essentially saying is we're in rebuilding mode this year, because they can't, if that guy goes, then, I mean, the team's going to be worse off and draft picks aren't going to be able to solve the hole, are going to be able to fill the hole in the first year that Beckham is going to leave. And if they do that, and that's fine. If they're like, you know what, we'll just get the draft picks and move on, then they really need to – then all the more so they need to take quarterback with that first pick, because you're going to rebuild, do it right. You know, the most important piece that they got to rebuild is the quarterback. Eli's not going to be around forever. And I think they're almost forced to take a quarterback at that point if they're going to do that. I hope they don't, because I'd like to actually see them compete this year. And I am excited to see Beckham back on the field. You know, I'm hoping he'll be back to form. One of the things I'll mention with the last caller is it's true most leg injuries, I would be worried that the guy's not going to be the same. And certainly the Giants' own recent history with guys like Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks, you know, were clearly never the same coming back off their injuries. But the one thing about Beckham is that he did not tear a ligament that second time around. He broke his leg. He broke a bone. And those do tend to, if they, I mean, you can have broken bones that do cause problems. But if it's a type that, but a lot of broken bones, even broken legs, once they heal, that's pretty much it. They don't cause, you know, chronic problems. They don't take away the guy's speed. They don't take away his cutting ability. You know, bones heal much better than ligaments do. So I'm not so worried that he's not going to come back from that injury. I mean, I do agree that, you know, they can't just throw a bunch of money at him without knowing if he's back. I mean, it is a risk. So, I mean, but it's a negotiation. I mean, look, he wants to get paid all the more so because he got injured. The Giants want to be sure that they have something in him and they have to, you know, worry about their cap. And, you know, there are going to be rumors. There's going to be, oh, you know, he wants $50 million or they already have a trade in hand. I mean, that's the way that the game is played. But I have a feeling they're going to come to some sort of agreement, you know, before the season starts, and that'll be the end of it. I also want to welcome back Robbie. I had to call in just to hear him, his Ali-like return to our show. And I did want to ask him about Baker Mayfield. I mean, I'm curious what he sees in him that's so much better than the other quarterbacks, and also like what he looks at in the combine, you know, because he specifically said.
Okay, we'll finish my question.
Go ahead.
Matter of fact, we'll do that real quick. Since that question is really right now, you just asked it. Robbie, can you answer? Yeah. Steve, ask it again, and Robbie, you respond
okay.
real quick.
I want to see a couple of things. What do you see in Baker Mayfield that's above the other quarterbacks? And also, when you look at the combine, I mean, I read these things about the combine. Oh, this guy did this and that guy. What do you look at specifically to say, oh, that's what I wanted to see out of that guy at the combine, or, you know, that was not impressive and I'm worried about that? Like, what are the things that you're looking for that you said Baker Mayfield checked all the boxes for?
Yeah, so, you know, the main thing going into that combine, everyone said the same thing about Baker, and that was that he couldn't throw the ball deep, he didn't have good touch mid, and he didn't have a good drop back. And when you went to the combine and you looked at him throw alongside the other quarterbacks, he easily 110%, and I like Rosen, 110% had the best five-step drop out of all of them. And that's not a bias thing. That's 100%. If you look at it, that's what he did. The throws are beautiful. He threw it, he flicked it down the field. Now, his 40-yard dash was not as good as I thought it would have been. I wasn't too impressed with that. 4.8 was good, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So that was, you know, my only negative to it. I think he handled the media as well as he always has. So, you know, when you ask me what do I see in him compared to other quarterbacks, I see someone's going to come in and he's going to be a modern-day NFL player. You have to look at it back in the day, and like Eli Manning leading your team, it's quiet, it's low-key, there's not a lot of excitement, there's no screaming in the huddle. It's, hey, guys, let's get together, let's have a beer, and let's talk about why we lost last week. So, you know, you need someone to get in there and fire you the hell up and want to go win. And this guy has a note in his phone with reporters that have told him what he won't be and how he won't succeed. And he's just going to prove every one of them wrong, just like he did when he walked on the field as a walk-on with no scholarship. And that's the type of guy you take. That's who you bet on, because that guy is betting on himself. So if you want to bet on someone, you bet on someone that's betting on himself. So I love him. I think he's going to be excellent. Even when I met him, he's just focused. He's ready to go. And he's just, I'm telling you, bro, he's the real deal. He's ready to go. I love Baker Mayfield.
All right. That is Steve from L.A. and his question to Robbie and Robbie's response. Thank you very much, guys. Let's go to Rayson. Now, Rayson, you did a lot of homework. Now, if you'd like to share that information here with the stakeholders, feel free. If you want to talk about Beckham Jr. or anything, man, this is really an open spot for your 4 minutes to say whatever you need in your time. And then we'll go right down the line to Justin and Isaac. So go ahead, Rayson, fire away.
It's funny because yesterday there was somebody so-called Giants was shitting their pants because they thought Odell Beckham was going to go. Well, Odell Beckham ain't going nowhere, all right? The Giants want too much. Ain't no team going to be that desperate, because you got to think about it. If the Giants want two first-rounders, you're going to have to give up two first-rounders plus another pick. Plus, on top of that, whoever trades for Beckham at the end of next season, you got to give him a big contract. That's too much for one player. So Beckham is not going nowhere. I ain't even worried about that. Anyway, Brandon Marshall, I feel that as soon as he passes physical, he's gone. And if he is gone, since we're talking about the draft, there's this one kid I want everybody to study film on by the name of Cedric Wilson, wide receiver out of Boise State. He could be a steal for us in the fourth round. Kid is 6'1", great route runner. He's dangerous in the end zone. He can score in the end zone. The kid can ball. So You guys need to check him out. But yeah, but as far as Gettleman goes, I love Gettleman already because Gettleman's already he's bringing that old school Giants mentality back to the team. He doesn't play no nonsense. I love how he handled the media. He's like, listen, I'm not answering no more of this Odell Beckham questions, and I haven't heard nothing from his camp. So until I hear something from his camp, all this other stuff is irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? So I just love Dave Gettleman because I love the way he's handling stuff, just like a real GM should. You know what I'm saying? So that to me is this is a big upgrade from what Reese used to do. So I'm loving it. You know what I'm saying? But as far as and another thing about the draft, I feel that we're not getting a quarterback in the first round. We're either gonna get either Barkley or Chubb, because Chubb is in the equation now because we got rid of JPP. We need to replace him with somebody. So I feel that I wouldn't be surprised if Chubb gets picked at number two overall. Nelson is another one too. Great guard. He's the best guard out of the draft. So it's just the thing I'm loving about Gettleman so much. He got people guessing. He's not. You can't tell what his next move is gonna be, and I'm loving that. Like, we don't know what we're gonna do. We're just gonna have to find out on draft night. I'm loving that about Gettleman. In the past, Reese was predictable. Like, everybody knew what he's already gonna do. Gettleman's not like that. Like, he got everybody guessing. I don't even know what his next move going to be. I don't know who he's going to draft. But I'm loving it because he keeps everybody in suspense. He keeps everybody wondering, oh, what is Gettleman going to do next? And I'm loving that by him. So, you know, this is a step forward in the organization, and I'm very happy with that because we need it. Because the horrendous season we had last year, we got to turn things around immediately. And I feel with some of the moves Gettleman has made is a step forward in the Giants team getting better. But, what else should I touch on? That's really basically it. I mean, I don't really got nothing else to touch on. So unless anybody want to ask me a question or so or whatever, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me.
All right. All right, cool. Your time was about to expire. Good points on Cedric Wilson, the wide receiver from Boise State. Appreciate the dialogue and the research, man, here on the Big Blue Roundtable from Racing. KGYR, just the way we like him, man. And like you said, nice home run by Giancarlo Stanton, especially the second one, right, bro?
Yeah, that was a monster shot. Jesus.
Well, a lot of talk on that on Monday. I can't wait to have that.
Yes.
More in depth that with that squad. But thank you very much, Ray. KGYR, man. Let's go to Justin, man. Justin, you're on the clock. Anywhere you would like to go, wide receiver, it doesn't matter. Anything you would like to say, and then we go to Isaac after that, and then Chantel. Go ahead, Justin.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to just jump around a little bit and make it brief. All right, let me start by saying this. I was about 90% all in on taking Saquon Barkley, you know, when I called in last week and even, you know, up to the leading days. But after listening to Robbie, I'm 150% on taking Saquon Barkley and not taking a quarterback. I'm going to tell you why. No offense to Robbie. I respect his analysis and everything, but he hasn't given me anything tangible that would make me feel that Baker Mayfield is going to be a star athlete. I get he has the will, he's got the point to prove, you know, he's a small guy, he's got the complex. I mean, outside of the 4.8, 40, and, you know, he said his drop backs look good, but at the same time, the combine is not real football. That's not guys that are really coming at you, that are pressuring you. That's not you being dependent on your line holding up. That's ideal circumstances. So I don't really put much stock into that. Now, I'm not saying the kid can't be good. He probably could be great. He probably could. But all I'm saying is that just solidified my vote that we need to get Saquon Barkley, who's at worst a decent starting running back in the NFL, at worst. So you can't go wrong there. You plug that piece in, you got that. As far as the Beckham situation, he's not getting traded. It makes no sense, even from the Giants standpoint, from the business standpoint. Unless somebody really backs up to your door and unload players as well as picks, it's not worth it to the Giants to do it. Here's why. Their hand isn't forced in the situation. Beckham's threatening to hold out, but he has no incentive to do that. He just signed his Nike deal. Those endorsements don't keep themselves. Him on the sideline, and then if you potentially draft a Saquon Barkley, and he becomes the game changer that people think he can be, or Evan Ingram emerges, football is an out-of-sight, out-of-mind type of thing. Guys don't want to be on the sideline while other guys are really stealing the shine, especially in New York City. So that, you know, that really doesn't do anything for him. And, you know, as I said, even for the Giants, they technically could keep him right here under their conditions for another 2 years. So their hand isn't forced to do anything. At the end of the day, he made dumb decisions, but he's a kid who's rich, who's a star. You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, but he's never been suspended by the league. You know, he's never been arrested. Josh Morrow just came over here from the Arizona Cardinals and is already suspended for 4 games for violating the drug policy. It wasn't illegal drugs in the sense of something he can get arrested for probably, but at the end of the day, he's suspended. And, yeah, he's a lesser player, but this guy hasn't done anything for the organization yet. At least Beckham has put something on film. He's single-handedly carried the offense for an extended period of time. That's not debatable. We could sit here and we could try to say it's football, a team game. And at the end of the day, our offense was so deficient that if we didn't have Beckham, and as it proved this year when we didn't have him, we went 3-13. As far as I'm concerned, he's put in work to at least earn the fact of if he gets suspended or he gets into some legal trouble, then you consider those options. But to already be going there and none of that has happened yet, to me that's ridiculous. You know, he does have to mature. He has to make better decisions. But like I said, he's got incentive to perform well this year too, you know? So, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, I don't have really much more to say right now, but I'll be back around.
That is Justin, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Big Blue Roundtable, sounding off on his time. Thank you very much, bro. Let's go to Isaac. Isaac, your 4 minutes, anything you would like to say, anywhere you'd like to take this dialogue, this conversation, then we'll go to Chantel. And then we'll bring on, I guess you could say, a guest caller when it comes to the Big Blue Roundtable. But you'll hear. Isaac, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, boys? It's a wonderful day. Like I said earlier, you know, talking about OBJ, the Giants are in a tough position with them. If they tag them, it's $22 million around. You can't pay a wide receiver $22 million, a quarterback $22 million. You can't front-load a contract, give Eli more money. And now 30%, whatever it comes out to be, is on those two players. How are you going to have other players on this roster? That's the first thing. Second, you know what? There is a team that could do this trade, and that would be the Niners. The Niners have a lot of cap still left. They haven't really spent much of it. They've made a splash with Sherman and a couple players here and there. You know what? That could be a team that could give the Giants their first two picks in the draft. Not the second round because they don't have that, but they give them a first round this year, maybe a first round next year. It's just hard to pay a receiver that kind of money. Saquon Barkley, I mean, I love him, but you know what? There's about 20 other backs in this draft. Of that talent? No. You know, I love Michelle from Georgia. I think he fits the Giant kind of mold, tough running back, hits the hole, and also has that burst. Kind of reminds me of Rodney Hampton. And also kind of like Brandon Jacobs. You know, wide receivers, I mean, if we trade back, you know, we get a couple picks on the Bills. You know, Calvin Ridley from Bama will be there. Later on, maybe Deshaun Hamilton, Penn State, another game-changer type of receiver possession. Brown from Notre Dame in the later rounds. He's 6'5", 204 Offensive Player of the Year from 2016, 961 yards. He didn't really do much this past year, but he has the production and he has the skill set to do things. I mean, he's not Odell, but who is? Also, you also have Josh Adams, another Notre Dame player. He can get in the 6th, 7th round. He's fell out of favor. He was on the running for the Heisman. What else do I have here? That kid, Quentin Nelson, he is a beast. He is a real deal. You know what? If they're going to stay at 2, I say go for him. I mean, I watched a kid play in high school. He was pancaking fellas all over that field. He continued that at Notre Dame. He spent his life watching film. He's a great kid. And he's one of the top offensive linemen in this draft. Now, you can go later, Edmonds, the linebacker from VT. There's another great pick. Is Eli Apple going to be gone? You know, who's going to be his replacement if we do get rid of him? who knows there. That might be a draft night, maybe fifth round, whatever. We'll see what happens there. MJ Stewart from North Carolina could be a replacement there. A three-year starter. He's a lockdown corner. And this past year, they didn't even throw to his side. They didn't want to look to that side of the field. So there's a lot of options for the Giants here. The end of the day is what is best for this team 3, 4, 5 years, not the next 2 years. They got to look big picture. And I'll tell you what, I love Gettleman. He reminds me a lot of Bill Parcells. He has that sarcastic personality. But what's in the video? Pizza? He's eating pizza. What's wrong with eating pizza? You know, my man is funny. But I got to go coach a basketball game. I just wanted to give a shout-out. I was glad I had 40 minutes to give tonight. An awesome show, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Isaac, man. Thank you very much for the Big Blue Roundtable. A season ticket holder, also as well as a veteran traveler for the Giants. Super Bowls, conference championships, you name it, he's been there, man. Isaac is a well-renowned, diehard Giants fan. And thanks for coming on to the Big Blue Roundtable. We had a lot of great points. Good. Hope you get the win in the coaching the basketball tonight. He had a lot of points as far as tagging the wide receiver. Maybe a team like the 49ers is on the table. A couple of 2 first-rounders is pretty much where I've been saying for 2 months if the Giants are going to go, if they go that route. Brought up Sony Michel. He brought up Edmonds from Virginia Tech. What about doing with Eli Apple? A lot of great points from Isaac, a lot of college prospects that he brought to the Big Blue Roundtable. Thanks to Isaac. Let's go to Chantel, the leader, the capo of Giant fans, the group. Chantel, you're up on your 4 minutes. I know you're like a research machine. Anything you would like to say, and then we'll get to your buddy Logan after that. So, Chantel, your 4 minutes on the Big Blue Roundtable.
Yes. First of all, I want to say this Pat Leonard dude, I got 2 middle fingers. Hold them, examine them. They're both for you. Fuck you, man, for all that fake news bullshit that you like to put out there. Like, just absolutely, no, I'm serious. Like, shit had me mad that day.
I'm gonna be
like,
honest,
oh, my
I'm
God, Beckham is getting... I was so pissed off because, yeah, let's be honest. There are rumors going around that Beckham was being traded, but the thing was, none of it had come from Mara. None of it came from him. All Mara said was, nobody is untouchable. That's all he said. And the next thing you know, it's, oh, my God, Beckham's being traded. Oh, my God, this is going to happen. Dude, y'all listening to that? Listen to this. I got a bridge in Brooklyn that I'd like to sell you, complete with unicorns, a pot of gold, and leprechauns that are farting pixie dust. That's how I feel about that. I also love that Gettleman because he makes the right moves and he goes and he fills needs. I mean, we have suffered Jerry Reese not filling needs from linebacker to corner and just waiting to the very last second to do something like that Ross Cockrell trade. That should have never happened because he had trades last year. He could have picked up a corner. And now I'm hoping that Gettleman looks at corners this year. I was looking at like a list of corners that I wrote down, and there was one that I like. Goodness, his first name, my book is in my bag, but his last name is Faison. I can't say his last name, but I was looking at him. I like the guy, and I think that he covers well, makes good plays on the ball, and, you know, sticks with his receiver. I also noticed, Steve, that you don't like this guy, Duke Campbell. So my question for you, like, when I'm done, is why don't you like Campbell? And basically, as far as Beckham and, like, the trade goes, I mean...
From Penn State?
Huh?
From Penn State?
Yeah, Penn State. Yeah.
Keep on doing your thing on the clock. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, because I want to know, because, listen, I don't watch college ball, so I had to just, you know, go and pick names out of a hat and go and look at them and see, like, you know, see their highlights. Granted, I know highlights only tell half of the story, but it's better that I know half than nothing at all. So, you know, I still got a whole bunch of research to do. I forgot what I think Rayson said it. There was another guy that we can probably go and get, like, in the 4th round. I want to look up that dude and see his highlights, read a little bit on about him. And that I'll do. Another thing, you know what I really like about Gettleman, what I also really love about him, is that he's not giving anybody anything. When he went and got Solder, seconds later, he called Flowers and said, hey, you're going to right tackle and you're going to have to fight for it. Wheeler and Bisnawati, they're going to be after your job. So if you want to stay on this team, if you want to have a job, you're going to have to freaking fight for it. That's what I like. Under Gettleman, nobody is given anything. You are to work for it. You are to bleed. You are to cry. You are to sweat if you want to make it on this team. That's what I like about him. He's not giving anybody anything, and he's putting people on notice. He told Eli Apple, like, look, you're getting a clean slate, but that also doesn't mean that he's not going to go out and get a corner. I think that he's going to go out, and I think he's going to get one. Hopefully it is in the draft. And a lot of things that a lot of people don't really like to necessarily look at is that you still have the undrafted free agents, and Giants have had, you know, they've had some luck with those guys. I mean, come on. We all love Victor Cruz. Where did Cruz start? From being an undrafted free agent. So that's something else that I'm looking forward to. I'm also hoping that we can get a decent kicker because I'm done with Rosas, whatever the hell this dude's name. I'm done with him. I can't, you know, missing field goals and that shit coming back to haunt us. I can't deal with that anymore. So I'm very pleased with what Gettleman is doing. And I really hope that we can kind of shore up the defensive end position because, granted, trading JPP frees up money. It also frees up space that we need to fill. So this guy Chubb, hopefully, like, he's the real deal and that we land him. So, you know, that's something that I'm really looking forward to. Overall, I think Dave will get him in the team and he's out perfectly. Damn, I ran out of time? I didn't even think I spoke that long.
Oh, no, you got – give me about 30 seconds. I kind of cut you off.
No, that's okay.
You said your question about Campbell. Let me answer that, then we'll go to your point again, right? The thing about Christian Campbell, I like him. Don't get me wrong. I like him. And I think I always look
Hold on. You said that he was a project. Let me just squeeze in this question right quick. Just let me squeeze it in really quick. Do you think with him being a project that there's a potential to have the ability to take Eli Apple's job for him? Because Apple really doesn't deserve his job as far as I'm concerned.
Well, in essence, absolutely he can. I would say he can. He has the ability to compete. When I said he was a project, it was more so because if you watched him in the Senior Bowl, like, he plays good. He was all right. He had good covers. He had good technique. He had good hands. He had good feet. I don't think his speed warrant – if you look at his game tape, as far as Penn State, he's not as fast. Now, I don't know if this is more about a Gettleman as far as if he worries about speed. He's big, but is he fast enough, his recovery speed? That's the kind of the things I look at as far as projects. Because if you're talking about – depending on what kind of sub coverages, if you're going to more of a nickel or a dime, you're going to have an extra cornerback. And how you line them up, are you going to put them in the slot? Are you going to put them on the outside? If you put them on the outside, I kind of worry about that as of right now. Does not mean he can't be coached up. So when I say project, I'm looking out as far as his ability to be a coach up on his deficiencies based off what I saw a little bit in the Senior Bowl in comparison to what I saw in this couple of the game tapes at Penn State. You know what I'm saying? He's good. He's good. He's getting drafted, and he should be available at 4-5. Now, I remember I'm kind of more of Duke Dawson, but not to say if Gettleman wants to go to a bigger corner, I can see that. But he's not a 00 project. You know, I was all over that when we drafted.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He's not that. I mean, he's fine. But Chantel, we're going to go back around when we get to you. Good points. You brought up a lot with Gettleman. And also the Eli Apple situation. Nobody really brought that up. I'm pretty surprised in a couple of weeks. Nobody's really brought that up as far as competition with Eli Apple. Now, we'll bring on Logan. Logan's a Minnesota Vikings fan. Now, I actually.
He's also a Reese Thief. That's all.
I'll bring him on. I want to ask him, me personally, as far as what he thought of Pat Shurmur in general, what he thinks about Kirk Cousins. In general, as far as that $84 million guaranteed. And on top of that, how does he look at, because he's a fan of another team, of course, how does he look at as a Giants? We're all Giants fans. Maybe we're a little bit too objective. What does a fan from the NFC North think? So, Logan, how you doing? Welcome to the Big Blue Roundtable. How's everything?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Bring you on, Chantel. Say hello, and then we'll go to Jason of the Big Blue of Arizona after that. But my questions in particular, if you have anything else you'd like to say, feel free in your 4 minutes. Kirk Cousins, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts on Pat Shurmur And then what about overall with the Giants in this offseason, if you have been paying attention to our moves, but as a fan on the outside looking in?
Well, I'll start off with Shurmur. I think Shurmur is going to bring some good vibes for your team. I think he's going to really turn around that offense, because that's why you didn't see anyone – you didn't see Manning go. You didn't see him trade for a quarterback. He believes in Manning. He's going to turn around him. I mean, I saw some points earlier about you don't have that guy that really has that confidence in building, but I think he can be a quarterback that can turn around like he did with Case Keenum. And he's going to really bring in that West Coast offense. You know, he learned from 10 previous years with Andy Reid when he was on their coach, with on that coaching staff, so I think that really fits in. But I think the running back situation and the linemen figured out, because one thing they made sure was having a blocking lineman. That's why they signed Latavius Murray, a power back like him, and a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield like McKinnon, and that's why they drafted Cook in the second round, which was a steal. So that's why I feel like Shurmur's going to fit in really good with you guys.
All right, what about – thank you very much on that. What about Kirk Cousins? Are you cool with the $84 million? Would you rather have Keenum? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it was a gamble just to see. Now it's like whether we feel like we can go to the Super Bowl or not with him. That's basically the move that I think Rick Spielman did, our GM. And I'm hoping it works out. I mean, he didn't have as much help as other quarterbacks have that have had success, but he didn't really perform to the standards that I thought. And that's why they talked about in interviews with Case Keenum not being able to is he going to do what he did last year, or is he going to do what he did 3 years ago? And I think the one thing is with Fisher, who was his head coach with the Rams, he didn't do a very good job, so Shurmur really turned him around, and that's why you see him as a head coach and different teams looking at him. So, I mean, it is a gamble, but I think hopefully it'll work out in the end.
All right. Last question. What about, as a fan of the Vikings, how do you look at the Giants overall as far as are they in a step in the right direction? What things do you think they can improve on?
Well, I think they started off great. Getting Dave Gettleman in there as their GM, he's looked good. He's one of those GMs that you want in there, who has that right attitude and can really make those good moves and not turn people in the wrong direction, so to speak. I think, and then him bringing in Shurmur, doing that, I think that really turns it around. Him being able to believe in Manning. Now with that second pick, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to go quarterback. I really doubt it. I think I would say it's up between Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson, because I do believe Barkley has a good shot at going at one. But I don't know if they'll probably end up going quarterback there. But I feel like it'll be between Chubb and Quentin Nelson, which are going to be really big fits in there and good needs that they will really like there with the New York Giants.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. That is Logan. He's a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, weighing in on Kirk Cousins, Pat Shurmur, of course, our team, and giving a different perspective as a fan on the outside looking in. We really appreciate your thoughts on the Big Blue Roundtable. And then if you stay tight, I'll get back to you if anybody has any questions on your pieces, man. Thank you very much. We'll go to Jason of the Big Blue Arizona, Big Blue of Arizona on Facebook and also on Instagram at Big Blue Arizona. Hey, Jason, welcome back. I guess you could give us the temperature, per se. And then it's a pretty much open topic, so what would you like to go with this?
Well, I guess Chris isn't on the show, but it's about 84 today, 84. 85 tomorrow, 90 during the weekend, pool party days.
Pool party days.
Steve, good to hear from you. Yeah, Steve, good to hear from you. Good to hear from all the family out there. I'm kind of torn on Gettleman's his grading so far. I want to say I kind of want to be like a negative Nelly, but also a realist, Steve. Some of his moves were good. Don't get me wrong. Some of his moves were good. That kind of kept him in like the A plus, A around there standings. but some of his moves did not make a bit of sense. We will start with Josh Morrow. Josh Morrow was supposed to pretty much be JPP's replacement for 1 year. They, knowing that he failed a drug test, he is sitting for one quarter of the season. We've lost JPP. We've moved him on. We've absorbed that cap hit. Josh Morrow was supposed to, for 1 year, fill those shoes. Josh Morrow will not be playing for 1 year, or excuse me, four games. Eric Flowers, I forgot what that lady was. She's really, really cool. She brings it. She's the one that said middle fingers to Pat. I think her name is, yeah. Check this out. Eric Flowers is in year four of his five-year deal with the team option. Honestly, I don't think whatever David Gettleman said to him really resonates, because he already knows he's going to be making a fat contract next year on another team, because I can guarantee the Giants are not going to pick up the team option. So with this, either you're going to have to compete for your job or for a job with the Giants. I really don't think he gives two shits, Steve. He's gone next year signing another deal with another team, because I don't think he's going to be back, and I think he realizes, hey, shit, so what? If I don't play, I'm still getting paid. I'm looking forward to next year. Ross Cockrell can ball. He signed, a two-year, $6 million deal with Carolina. He was 26 years old, 6 feet. Why they got rid of him was another, scratch my head, I think a very bad move. He was really, really, really balling hard, and to let him go to chance drafting a rookie quarterback to take over there, I was a little unsure about that. I did not know. I really kind of fell in love with Ross Cockrell. And to let him go, Steve, I'm like, wow. Bringing in this talent to fill roster spaces, Jonathan Stewart, the other guy from the Dolphins on a two-year deal, most of these players on the Giants roster that have a guaranteed one-year contract or a two-year with the first year guaranteed will not be a New York Giants next year in 2019. So kind of want to hear what you have to say on that. I've said kind of what I wanted to say, but I'd love to hear what you have to say being the host.
I think you make a great point on the cornerback with Ross Cockrell, because you have an Eli Apple situation where we were talking about that earlier as far as who's going to be drafted. And you're talking about Dominique Rodgers-Camardi, who had to go. So the Giants have an immediate need to pair up somebody with Janoris Jenkins. It's probably going to be a veteran down the line. You'll probably find a veteran who's going to be unsigned at one point, probably bringing some leadership, and also somebody you have to draft. They probably get one or two in the draft, and then probably somebody who's undrafted and also a veteran. And I think they really wanted to go younger, but that was actually really sort of surprising with Ross Cockrell. I'm not exactly sure there was a dialogue with management as far as retaining him after getting the trade. That was actually a Reese trade. So good points on that. Now, the Josh Morrow thing, because Justin had brought that up earlier as far as why bring the guy in. Well, the Giants kind of knew they were getting – they kind of had a suspicion that he was going to be suspended, or he had violated with the substance. So it was kind of more about relationships, you know, the format as far as changing the base of the defense. So I could understand why he would bring in his own guys at that point. But as far as the replacement part, him being with JPP more of a traditional 4-3, and Betcher being there, he kind of knows the guy, kind of the same thing with Kareem Martin. So I kind of understand you bring in the guys you work with, and then they'll probably try to take a four-game hit with that. But I think the Giants are also in need of a pass rusher at defensive end, especially in a 3-4 format. But also good points with Jonathan Stewart with his contract situation, and also Eric Flowers with that one more year, then he had either whether he makes the team or not, he's so young that even if the Giants don't sign him, he's going to be signed somewhere, because no other team is going to give up on a guy that at that size. They probably coach him up, and he has age working in his benefit. And if he does stink up next year, he could always be on his prove it deal type of thing with another team, whether he's with us or not. So, Jason, that's great points that you brought to the Big Blue Roundtable, man. Let's go to Wellington Black. Henny White, Mike Black, and then get to the G6. But let's go to Mike Black and then get through all the stakeholders who have questions and comments for each other. Mike, what's going on? Anywhere you would like to go with this here on the roundtable? Any points? Just Beckham Jr., any draft prospects? The floor is yours, man. Fire away, man. Huh.
Wow. Yeah, just falling in here. What's up, everybody? Steve.
Yeah.
Jason, good points. remember, let's go back to Flowers. Flowers did ball out his last four games. Something must have clicked in him. Again, you know, Flowers was a guy, you know, we all wanted to hang out to dry. But his last four games last season, he really turned it around. And let's face it, he's going back to the right side. This is the side he got drafted at. This is the side where we saw him at in college. And this is his natural side. So we'll see what happens with him. I think don't be surprised if he balls out on that right side, man. Back to his natural side, and don't be surprised if he balls out. Like I said, if he plays anywhere like he played the last four games of the season, he could turn his thing around. The thing with Morrow, not only did does he know the scheme. Yeah, with the drug thing, the four games, I think they're just trying to build depth into that defensive line. And obviously, they knew he was going to fail this thing, four games, they'll go ahead and take that hit. It's not like he was going to start. So he's just a guy who's going to rotate, keep that defensive line fresh. So I think that's a hit they don't mind taking that hit. I mean, he's not like you franchise tag the guy. You know, he's a guy who's just going to rotate, keep that defensive line fresh, especially in the fourth quarter. Excuse me. Really tuned into the show, but to bounce off some of Jason's points, he did make some good points. I kind of didn't want to see Cottrell go. He was a breath of fresh air back there. So to see him bounce, that was a little difficult for me, but I don't see that as a Gettleman blunder. I think Gettleman's really been on his job as a GM. The thing with Gettleman, I think his brilliance comes in later on when you can look back and see the moves he made earlier and see how they pan out. And I think that's really how you determine somebody's genius. When you see the moves they made early on, even if they don't make sense when he makes them, and then you look, 6 months down the road, you say, wow, man, I'm glad we didn't sign that guy. Or, wow, did you see what he did? Or why he picked this guy up? So I think Gettleman is making some really sharp moves as a GM. I really feel good about the draft, going into this draft, having the draft in his hands as opposed to Reese's hands. Let's see, again, there's a lot of ways we can go. We do hold the golden ticket at number two. Let's see what they do ultimately. I know everybody needs to stop talking about Chubb. Chubb's not going to be there. I don't think we'll – if we don't pick Chubb first, I don't think we'll have a chance at him. Chubb is supposed to go in the top five, just for argument's sake. He will probably be the first non-quarterback off the board. So he has thought of that to be that high. So we will see. Somebody is going to drop down, though, be it Barkley, be it Chubb. Somebody's going to drop down out of one of these top guys will drop down out of the top 10. I heard Jackson had his pro day today. I didn't get to see it or watch it, but I just wanted to bring that up. And we're just going to have to see ultimately what happens with the draft. Right now, everybody's picking a bracket, but we don't know, again, who's going to do what. There will be some surprises, I'm just dying to see what we do in the draft at the end of the day.
As well as Black Mara, Henny White. Thank you very much, sir, on his thoughts, on his time. Let's go to G6. Fly High is with us. I want to see if G6 has any prospects for us. We heard some prospects from Racing. We heard some prospects from Chantel. I think Robbie had brought up a couple, and definitely Isaac brought up a lot of prospects. But G6, 4 minutes, and then we'll go to Doris, and then we'll get to everybody as quickly as we can before we get off, and we'll let everybody ask somebody a question here on the roundtable. But G6, you first, sir. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Steve? Bleed Blue.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
What's going on? Nothing much. Hey. You got anything, anywhere you would like to go, prospects, the Beckham Jr. situation or Gettleman or anything with the Giants. You heard all everybody's points since you've been on, and then we'll get to the next stakeholder then, so on and so forth.
Gotcha. If it's kind of a freestyle, I'll start to say this. Let me say this. Ross Cockrell's from Charlotte, went to Charlotte Latin. He just came home. It wasn't a thing of he turned the Giants down or he just came home. He wanted to be in Charlotte. He was going to take less money to be a Panther. And I think Gettleman reached out. Maybe even I think he offered him probably a little bit more money. But like I said, Cockrell just wanted to be back in Charlotte. This is where he's from. And he's home. So that pretty much puts that to bed. It's not a blunder of anything like that from Gettleman. It is what it is. As far as, Beckham, like I think you said, as far as that go, I think it's something to watch. I don't think it's over. I don't think it's something that you can lock in and say, yeah, he ain't going nowhere. I just don't see that. I think you have to watch. Again, do your own research. Read between the lines. I think him coming to the OTAs may be an important date for us to all watch. I'll just say that moving forward. What else we got, Steve? As far as I came in the middle of Jason. So as far as the mm-hmm. players that Gettleman has gotten, I this is my personal opinion. I think you have mm-hmm. to bring a Jonathan Stewart on because he's a mentor. First of all, he was a locker room guy here in Charlotte. He's a positive guy, and he's a locker room leader, and that's the kind of guy you want to go to battle with. Secondly, he's a short yardage guy, so, that's something we hadn't had. You know, we tried to make Jennings that. Jennings didn't turn into that. It never transpired. So Stewart's a great, excellent red zone, short yardage guy, and I think we're going to get Barkley. And I think you want a guy like Jonathan Stewart mentoring Barkley, Gallman, Perkins. These are young guys. So you need a veteran in the locker room. Kareem Martin, the DN, the outside linebacker, I'm sorry. He's an outside linebacker that was in Betcher's scheme. He ended up having to play a lot of reps last year, and he started flashing and turning head. And I think I'm almost certain the Cardinals wanted to retain him, but because he was going to have to go to DN, he decided to come to us and stick with what he's been doing the last year or two. He came out of college as a DN. It took him a while to get the outside linebacker position, and I just don't think he wants to go back to being a DN. It's a technique thing. It's a certain way you have to think at that position. And I think he's a guy to watch out for, along with Avery Moss. Those are guys to watch out for at that position. I'm not as much as worried about that outside linebacker as a lot of people. I think that's where OV comes from. He was an outside linebacker in Miami. You know, we tried to make him a DN, which I don't think there was a natural fit for him. I think you could pencil in OV. Like I said, again, Kareem Martin flashed last year and started to turn the corner at that position, so I'm not as worried about that. The guy Morrow is just what Black said. At the end of the day, he knows the scheme. He'll be around in training camp and preseason, and he'll be able to help some of the guys learn that scheme in that position, that D tackle, DN position. Also, I'm not too worried about four games or anything like that. Who else, Steve? Who else we brought on?
I got a quick question. What about prospects? I got a question for you. What about prospects? Any linebackers you're interested? The ends? We got about 30 seconds on the clock.
As far as draft or free agency?
Draft. Either or.
No. I mean, not really, man. If we go quarterback, I'd be pretty upset with the draft. I mean, let's be honest, man. I just can't wrap my head around drafting a quarterback at two to sit behind Eli. I just can't, Steve. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I think you have to go Barkley.
I
think you go with Barkley. Outside of that, second round, I really hadn't delved deep, but I would go with guard. The guard position is plentiful in this draft. I would maybe go with a guard. Billy Price or somebody like that that's going to be available and sure up the O-line. add more competition. That's as far as I've gotten with my draft board so far, Steve. So I'm sorry, man. It's not that I don't have a lot of prospects right now. Yeah.
No, that's fine. That's cool. Look, that's cool. G6 Fly High, thank you very much, sir, on his 4 minutes in time. We're going to get the doors, and then after that, we're going to try to get about a minute each. But if anybody wants to say their piece in the minute or also ask a stakeholder a question or anything they had or a concern or comment, feel free to address them in your last minute as we get to it because we got about a little over 10 minutes left. But I also want to say in 2 weeks, I'll repeat it, in 2 weeks we'll have a full episode 2 weeks from now. A stakeholder mock draft. So we're going to get your draft boards ready for the next in 2 weeks from now. So 2 weeks from now, two Thursdays from now, middle April, stakeholder mock draft. So let's go to Doris. Doris, if you have anything you would like to say, you're up on your 4 minutes, and we'll go around for final thoughts. But within our final thoughts, if anybody wants to say something to another stakeholder, feel free. So go ahead, Doris, fire away.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm good. I kind of like what G6 was saying. You know, I kind of agree, especially when it comes to Gellerman. I saw what he did with the Panthers. You know, I get to see all of them games down here. And, you know, he did a good job. And I think I understand what he's trying to do, especially bringing in the veterans. Like you said, I like Jonathan Stewart also. You know, he is pretty good. You know, and the leadership. You know, he's getting people that are veterans and know how to work together. Because even the ones that he brought from, you know, I'm good with that. You know, he's that dynamic to us. So I'm hoping it works out on the field. And I hope we can find a way to keep OBJ. You know that already. But if he has to go, you know, I'm good with that too. You know, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for game day. That's all I got, you know.
That's all you got? You don't want any more?
That's
all
I got. Okay,
all
right. I'm just saying, you know, I get too excited. I'm trying to be calm.
Get to the cussing.
I'm waiting for the week, the draft, in 2 weeks.
Oh, the stakeholder mock draft.
Yeah.
Oh, rounds 1-7. Oh, I can't wait. I'm working on my board as we speak. I'll finish that stuff or revise it by Sunday. And then tweak it in between shows. So I just got to get to the research and study myself, man. And a lot of stakeholders done their research. You can hear it in what their minutes, man. So, all right, well, Doris, we'll hold off. We'll get to you on our final minute. So we're going to get to 1 minute each because we're running on time. And we're going to go back to Robbie. Robbie, anything in your final minute, if you have any final thoughts. But also, if there's a stakeholder you would like to ask a question, feel free in your minute. We'll try to get them on quickly as possible. So, at everything NYG on Twitter. Go ahead for your final thought.
Hey, real quick, you know what I got to go after? The guy from before. Hey, no disrespect, but if he didn't do
that?
Anything. I don't know who was before talking about Mayfield. I was 150% sure now.
Oh, that
I'm
was
sure
– I think that was
three
Justin. You want to ask Justin?
I'm telling him. Manning Awards, best quarterback in the country. Back-to-back 40 touchdown seasons with under 10 picks. Two-time first-team All-American, Maxwell Award. Associated Press Player of the Award, of the Year Award. Two-time Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. I'm not going to keep reading them off. There's too many. But I'm just saying, do not say that he has not done anything. That's insane. My guys to keep an eye on, my low-key guys, I know you guys are going to roast me for the Darian Thompson thing. I get it. I'm over it. My low-key guys are a little bit high-key. My wide receiver guys are Michael Gallup out of Colorado State and Traquan Smith out of UCF, and I think they're absolutely insane if they pass on Will Hernandez out of UTEP in round 2. That's about it, guys. Glad to be back. Blee blue.
At everything NYG, and Will Hernandez is actually on my board. He's the backup to Quentin Nelson if he goes by. So we're seeing eye to eye on
that. He's a great guy. Really nice guy. Really nice guy.
At everything NYG on Twitter, and give him a happy belated shout out. Welcome back to the Big Blue Roundtable. Let's go to Sarge. Sarge, on your minute, if you'd like to say anything to a stakeholder directly, we'll open up their line or anything on your final thoughts. Go ahead, Sarge, Big Blue Crew of Atlanta.
Yes, sir. Don't have anything to add. Just say this. Look for Chukwuma Okafor out of Western Michigan. believe me, definite sleeper, and he will definitely show up the line as well. That's all I got, and I guarantee you, we do not need Saquon Barkley. That's just my final thought.
All right, Sarge, Big Blue Crew of Atlanta has chimed in. Thank you very much. He says, keep an eye out on Okafor from Western Michigan. I'll have to do my research on Western Michigan on the O-line, man. Sarge, thank you very much on the Big Blue Roundtable. Spartacus, your minute, anywhere you like to ask or talk to somebody directly on your final minute, or you could say whatever you need to say. Spartacus, feel free to fire away.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Great show, everybody. Great insight and opinions from everyone. And just love hearing all the information. Once again, just hoping for a really good season for the Giants. I really and I'm definitely going to do some research on this receiver, Cedric Wilson, see if I can get some tape on him and see what I think. I'm going to go as far as saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, Boise State. Yes, sir. And I'm going to just say this. If nothing happens between now and next Friday, then I agree with all you. We're not going to trade Beckham. But normally something like this will happen real fast. So I'm going to say by this time next Friday, if he's not moved, then he will be on the field in 2018. And that's all I got to say.
Spartacus, the Tiger Hunter, is on the Big Blue Roundtable. Spartacus, thank you very much on your input. Your knowledge and your expertise, and how about them Yankees at KGY, bro? Shout out to Spartacus.
You!
sure enough. And shout out to Steve in LA, GiantFansInLA.com. We go to Steve. Steve, on your final minute, and congratulations to your New York Metropolitans and your final thoughts. Anything you want to ask or talk to somebody directly on your final minute as well? GiantFansInLA.com.
Yeah, just happy birthday to Robbie. I think he had his birthday last week, and glad the Stewie Griffin from Family Guy moment where the Met season is over on the first pitch didn't happen. And I'm just going to say a brief thing. You know, people are drafting for need. We need this. Why are we drafting that guy? Just remind people, you know, when the Giants drafted Lawrence Taylor, linebacker was not exactly a need on that team. They had Harry Carson, they had Brian Kelly, they had Brad Van Pelt, and there were areas on that team where a lot more need than linebacker. But sometimes the talent is just overwhelming, and even if it may not be an area of need, if the talent is there, you know, it may be worth it anyway. That's all I'm going to say.
GiantsFansInLA.com. Check out his website out there, the Giant Fans in Los Angeles. Also, what's the Mets? It's MetsFansInLA.com.
MetsFansInLA.com. Yeah.
All right. Now, if you're a Giants fan or a Mets fan and you want to get up with the fan events, holla at Steve on his websites, plural, Giants Fans in LA and Mets Fans in LA, and get up with some fans, man. Fans need to get out, get off the computers, and just go rock with some fans, man. Giants Fans in LA, man. Steve, looking forward to having that stakeholder mock draft with you, bro. Looking forward to that.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. And we'll see him on Big Blue Fans in LA, New York Giants Fans in LA on Twitter as well. Let's go to Rayson. He's had a great day as a Yankee fan as well. So, Rayson, on your final call, if there's anybody you want to direct, ask a question directly, feel free in your final minute. Go ahead, by the way, Rayson.
Yeah, my mock draft's all set up. But now, what I want to say is there's another kid. We want to get rid of this Eli Apple problem. There's a kid out of Arizona, cornerback named Dane Cruikshank, 6'1", ran a 4.40. Great cover corner. He can tackle. He has speed. You want to get rid of the Eli Apple problem? That's the kid we should draft in the later rounds. We get him, we'll be all set at corner. That's all I got.
So
All right, I couldn't hear anything, Steve. I don't know if you had
Go ahead. My bad. I was on mute. I was saying, go ahead and fire away. Anybody you want to address directly?
I'll make it brief. Just to respond to Robbie real quick, I wasn't making the point that Baker Mayfield hasn't done anything. I was making the point that he hasn't done anything to show me that he's 10 times better than these other quarterbacks.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Going back to the Josh Morrow thing really quickly, I do understand the Giants did understand that he was coming in, you know, into the suspension, and that was part of the deal. But the point I'm making is the fact that people are willing to trade away an asset that already has proven himself, but they're willing to accept the guy who's coming in to already be suspended at a deficient position, and they don't have a problem with it. So that was the point I was making there. But that's all I got to say for tonight. Great show. You know, I enjoyed myself, and I'm out.
Shout out to Justin, man. Thank you very much on his final thoughts. I think I was muted when I was trying to say about Racing's point, Cruikshank. I was looking into that. He was on my board. So I'll get to that on the next episode when we have more time. Let's go to Logan. Logan has stayed with us. His final thoughts, anything he wants to say on his Minnesota Vikings, anything he wants to say on the Giants or the NFL overall.
Well, and first off, thank you for having me on. I hope you'd want me on again, and I would appreciate maybe even on the mock draft, because that's kind of like my favorite thing each year is drafting guys, and I've done different mock drafts already. I think really for us it's either guard or cornerback at pick 30, and I think two guys to look at, as you said before, Will Hernandez out of UTEP. I feel like he could go in the first round. Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia, I think those two guards could be fits there. Or cornerbacks, Jair Alexander out of Louisville or Josh Jackson out of Iowa. So I think those are good fits for the Vikings there if they're available.
All right, Logan, thank you very much. And, of course, you are more than welcome to join the Big Blue Roundtable with the fellow stakeholders here and talk dialogue. And our stakeholder mock draft absolutely rounds 1 through 7, and might as well have the Minnesota Vikings in on that as well. And thank you very much for your chiming in. Let's go to Jason of the Big Blue Arizona, his final thoughts as well.
Hey, Jason, Steve, I'm here. Hey, if we can get G6 on the line, I got a question that I would love for him to explain this. Here's the question.
Real quick.
If we do draft Saquon Barkley, Eli Manning is gone in 2 years. They're probably not going to extend him. How much does G6 think we're going to pay for a backup quarterback, knowing Mike Glennon in Arizona is making $10 million a year to hold the clipboard behind Sam Bradford?
All right, G6.
I would say to that, why are we disregarding Webb? Why are we so quick to disregard Webb? I just don't get it, man. His college tape is all we got to go off of, matches up with all these guys. I mean, if he was coming out this year, he'd be right in line with Allen, Mayfield, all these guys. So why are we – he beat out Mayfield in college. So why are we so quick to just disregard Webb? That's my – that'd be my answer to that. I don't get why we're just throwing this guy away. Because he was a Reese pick, I get the logic, but, I mean, I don't know why we're so quick to just flush Webb down the tubes, man. I just don't get it. I mean –
All right, that's Big Jason from Big Blue of Arizona on Facebook and also Instagram. So go to Big Blue Arizona on Facebook and Instagram. Give them a follow. There are great events out there in Arizona. Let's get to Mike Black on his minute, on his final thoughts as well. Mike Black, your final thoughts, and then we get to the G6 and so on and so forth.
Giancarlo Stanton, first at bat home run. Watch out.
Right.
New York Yankees are back, baby. The Pinstripes is back. Watch out. Bronx Bombers back in the building, baby. If you Cleveland, if you Houston, there's a storm coming, baby, from the Northeast. Watch it, baby. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, we coming, baby. That's what I got.
Shout out to Mike Black on that, man, on the New York Yankees, man. Shout out to that. Good win for the Yankees and the Mets, man. Shout out to the Yankees. Mike Black on his final thoughts. And let's go back to the G6. If he has a question or he just wants to write on his own minute. Go ahead, G6. Fly away.
You ain't saying nothing about your Knicks and my Hornets the other night. But anyway,
yeah,
that's a different conversation.
It sure is.
But look, I don't have Hernandez making it to the second round just because Billy Price tore something in the combine. And even though he's going to be healthy for the training camp, I think it's going to drop. I think that they're going to flip-flop. That's the only reason I said maybe a Billy Price, maybe a win at guard the second round. I don't know if Hernandez makes it now to the second round. So that's the only reason I said that. Other than that, man, like I say, I'm not disregarding Webb yet. If you match his film up, this makes basically my point. If you match his film up with any of these other guys, it's about the same. Why wouldn't you want a guy that's already been in the NFL a year, studied behind Eli a year, knows the rigors of the NFL already, the schedules of the NFL, has trained like an NFL quarterback, has studied NFL film for a year? Why wouldn't you want that guy over any rookie that's coming out?
G6, fly high on his final thoughts, man. He said a lot of great points, answered Big Blue of Arizona's question as well. His thoughts on Billy Price, a lot of more. I can't wait to hear his mock draft in 2 weeks, man. Big Blue Roundtable. Let's go to Doris, final thoughts. I know we're out of time, but we're going to try to squeeze everybody in with a minute. Doris, your final thoughts?
I'm staying positive and hope we do the right thing. Looking for a good season. I'm good.
All right. That is Doris. Don't want to get her animated about that Odell Beckham Jr. situation. Don't want to get her. Keep her blood pressure low. Keep that blood pressure. That pressure low. That pressure low. Don't want to
get her. Yeah, gotta stay calm.
Gotta stay calm. Yeah, all about calm, man. That is Doris. Let's try to. I think this is O. If this is O, if whoever it is at 786. If this is O, whoever it is, give us a minute on your final thoughts. Who's this? Is this O? 786, Billy Bob. All right. Your microphone is open. Going once. Going twice. All right. Well, that is the conclusion of the Big Blue Roundtable. We're out of time. We're about to get cut off. So for Robbie, Stars from Big Blue Crew of Atlanta, of course, the great Spartacus, Steve, Giant Fans in L.A., MetsFansInLA.com, and Giant Fans in L.A. on Twitter. Of course, Rayson, Justin, Isaac, Chantel. Shout-outs to Logan from the Minnesota Vikings fans. And, of course, Jason from the Big Blue Arizona, Mike Black, G6, Doris. This episode, Big Blue Roundtable Scenarios 2, is going to be on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher apps. And also on our website, bleedblueshow.com. We're out of time. I got to get some more time in so I can get in my piece on the Giants. But it's not nothing that most of you guys already said. So a great dialogue from the Big Blue Roundtable. We'll be back next Thursday. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.